Let's pray over our offering tonight and believe God that the Lord multiplies it and blesses people in the ministry and also brings it back to us. 30, 60, and then my favorite, 100-fold. Is that scriptural? Is that scriptural that what you give, that it can come back 100 times? Is that in the Bible? Well, sure it is. Better believe it. 10th chapter of Mark, if you want to look at it. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for the opportunity to be here to receive your word. We also thank you for the opportunity to give into the kingdom of the Most High. We ask you to take this money, as big or as small as it is, and stretch it far beyond what it could normally do, far beyond what anybody in the world could do with it. Stretch it out, way out there, so that we can accomplish more for your kingdom than ever thought possible. And also, we thank you, Lord, that you promised that this is not the last time we'll see this money. We'll see it, but it'll be a lot more when we get it. And that's not why we give. We give out of obedience to you, but we thank you. We're sure not going to forget the benefits of giving in faith. So we give tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Ushers may receive the offering. Well, did you bring a Bible tonight? Have you noticed we need those? We need Bibles on Wednesday nights. Those of you that have been coming, you'll notice that we pretty much land in this book, and that's about all we have time for. How many of you know that's all you need time for? Amen? Is that right? As you know, Sunday mornings, we target people that are new, people that even don't know Jesus, have never met the Lord, but people also that have met him but that are new and so on. And so we try to be very practical on Sunday morning. But on Wednesday night, we want to make sure that we're giving the beef. You know what I mean? How many of you know you like to eat desserts? Some people like to eat desserts all the time, but you got to have some vegetables and you got to have some meat. And Wednesday night is just for that. It's for growth. It's to grow in your relationship with the Lord, to grow in your confidence in God, to grow in faith. And so that's what we're here. We're here to find out. How many of you want to be more effective in your life? Don't you? I don't know about you. I don't like praying prayers and them not being answered. Do you?
No way.
Did you know that Jesus never, ever, ever intended for us to pray a prayer that wasn't answered? Do you know that? When you read through the New Testament, just read what Jesus said. Every time he talked about prayer, he told you we'd have an answer. And the answer wasn't no. He said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give you. Ask and what?
It'll be given.
Seek and what? See, that's just the way he talked all the time. He never, ever talked as if we were going to be praying prayers and just wondering, I wonder if God's out there, you know, and nothing ever happens. He never, ever talked like that. So either he was confused or, I pick or, don't you? Because he knows what he's talking about, regardless of what religious people say, regardless of what anybody else says. How many of you know God knows what he's talking about? And even though it seems too good to be true, it's got to be true because he said it. How many of you know that what comes out of God's mouth is so true that even if it wasn't true, it'd be true as soon as he said it? Isn't that right? If God looked at that yellow wall right there and said, blue, how many of you know that'd be blue from now on? Did you know that? And you'd pick up a banana and somebody said, look at that blue banana. I'm telling you, yellow'd be blue from that point on because God said it. Because God said it. When God says something, that's the way it is. From then on out, it becomes law. Now, of course, God never contradicts himself, does he? God doesn't call it yellow one day and blue the next day. Once God says it's yellow, it's yellow. Once God says blue, it's blue. And he'll never come back and say it's yellow again. God knows. And if he does change and say, how many of you know God does take a situation and call it something that it's not? But it becomes that. Like when he changed Abram's name to Abraham, father of a multitude. He didn't have any kids, but he kept calling him Abraham. You're Abraham now, father of multitude. Well, he didn't have any kids. But how many of you know because God said it, called him that, now he's going to have some kids. Isn't that right? All right. That's why we need God's word. And that's why we're going to be more effective in this, in our lives and in this church. I'm telling you, we're just getting started here. You're sitting in such a good position, but the Lord has already begun to show us where this thing is headed. And you just wait and see. Once we get the Word of God rolling and we get ourselves into alignment as a church with His Word, His word will begin to come to pass, just like that. See? And that's what we're studying about here in this series. I'm telling you, this is a life-changing series that we're studying. And this will just cut right through about everything you've been taught by religious people. You know why? Because Jesus is teaching it. And Jesus made all the religious people mad, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Religious people want to make the Word of God look like their world, look like what they see and what they've experienced. Jesus comes in and says, no. Take the Word and make your world look like the Word. See, that's the difference. A religious person wants to look at their experiences and interpret the Word. Jesus says, no, take the Word, interpret your experience, and your experience will begin to line up with the Word. That's the difference between Jesus and religious people. It started from the very first verse of the Bible where the Bible says it was dark, and so God said, let there be light, and what? There was light. Let me tell you what God does. God says something, and then it happens. That's the way the system works. Now, Mark chapter 4, we begin to study this, and I tell you what, I was in my office just earlier and had a little bit of time to start meditating on this. This is the way I used to do it all the time. This is the way God taught me to do it. God taught me to take time and meditate on the passages that He wanted me to minister in. And as I meditate, the Holy Spirit opens my eyes to things in it and shows me things. Now somebody says, well, what, are you something special? No, He'll do that with anybody. But there is an anointing that comes on a teacher, a gift, an ability that comes on somebody that stands in the office of a teacher, where God does that in a special way because they are to use that gift to minister to the rest of the body. You know that's true with pastors and teachers and so on. They have special abilities, not of themselves, but of the Lord, so that they can minister to other people. So I hadn't had much time to do this recently. We've been so busy with the facilities and such, but now I feel the Lord saying, all right, boy, get to what's important. Amen. It's not the facilities that are going to cause God's plan to come to pass. It's right here. One thing is needful. I have to have Kim share a message on that one day. Mark chapter 4, verse 13. And Jesus said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. And when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, age, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now, notice again in verse 13, Jesus said, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parable? And you remember last week we said that Jesus is saying here, if you can get a hold of this one, you'll be able to understand the other ones. But if you miss this one, if you do not understand this parable, this teaching, then you will not be able to comprehend the other ones, because this is the way that the system of the Word of God works. If you don't understand how the Word of God works, you will not be able to understand all the other parts of working in the kingdom of God, because the whole kingdom of God is based around these principles and these laws. Does that make sense? It's like, for example, if you don't understand the California driver's handbook, if you don't get it and you just don't understand it, you're not going to understand totally anything else about driving in California, because it's all based around these specific laws that we operate in. And so you're going to be over on the wrong side of the street, you're going to be going the wrong direction on a one-way street, and you just can't figure out why everybody is waving at you with one finger. And you're going to say, these people in California are angry. They've got attitude problems. Something's wrong with them. I just can't. I'm just moseying along. I'm minding my own business. I'm trying to keep a good attitude. And look what's happening. Yeah, you're an idiot. That's what's happening. You need to go to school and learn how to drive in California. Isn't that right? And Jesus is saying here, listen, if you're going to function in the kingdom of God at any level, you better understand how the principles and how the system of God's
yes.
word works.
Yes.
And so that's why he said, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? And then he gets into it. Notice verse 14. He says, the sower sows the word. Boy, I was meditating in there and that got me. The sower sows the word. That just got me right there. You know, it's interesting. The Holy Spirit, he'll take one word and just... The sower sows the word. Let me tell you something about God. God sows his word on purpose. God doesn't speak like we speak. You know, we say things, we're joking all the time, and things are coming out of our mouth. We don't mean them. They're just kind of floating around. We're saying words all the time, and we don't ever intend that those words ever come to pass or whatever. We're just kind of spouting off. Well, that's ungodly. Did you know that? The Bible says in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. People who are just talking all the time, they're sinning all the time. It's the truth. The Bible said, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak. See, that's a godly man and woman. Swift to hear and slow to speak. That's what we want to be. We want to be like the Lord. Well, here's what God does. God thinks through what he's going to say, and he says it on purpose. These words in this book were not just where somebody caught God just kind of, you know, throwing out some muttering and things and they wrote it down real quick. No, everything God said, he said on purpose. The sower sows the word. How many of you know a farmer doesn't accidentally plant seed? Huh? He doesn't have a whole lot of bags of seed in the barn and just accidentally driving the tractor just knocked it out in the field. Oh, look, I accidentally knocked some seed out there in the field. No. And you know what? God doesn't do that either. God does not farm like that. When God says something, he says it because he expects it to come to pass. Now let's flip over. I want to show you. Hold your place there in Mark 4 and look over to Isaiah. You know this scripture, but let's take a peek at it in light of what we're talking about. Isaiah chapter 55. We could read the whole chapter, but let's just pick out a little bit of it. Isaiah chapter 55. Let's come over to verse 11. You remember this. Isaiah 55:11. It says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. So shall what? My word. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. That going forth from my mouth is the sowing. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but shall accomplish what I please and prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Now somebody said, what is he talking about? Well, look at verse 10. Back up one. As the rain comes down and snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be. He's saying when the rain comes down, the rain doesn't come back up. He said it produces something. It waters the earth and causes it to bring forth fruit. He said that's the way my word is. When I say something, I expect my word to go and get it done. Just like from the very beginning when he said, let there be light, God did not expect for it to stay dark, did he? What did he expect?
Light.
He expected what he said to come to pass. Isn't that right? Let me tell you something about God. He always expects what he says to come to pass. You need to know something about God. He always expects what he says to come to pass. God did not throw out promises in the Bible that you need to receive and not expect them to come to pass in your life. That's why every time Jesus talked about prayer and receiving, he said, you will receive. Ask and you will receive. Now, according to our experience, we look and we say, now wait a minute. Why is the Bible talking all this good stuff and yet it's not happening in my life? That's what Jesus is teaching us. This is what Jesus is trying to explain to us. See? But notice again that God says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It won't return to me void, but it will accomplish what I please and prosper in the thing for which I sent it. In other words, God said, when I said something, when words come out of my mouth, those came out of my mouth to accomplish what I said they would accomplish. Does that make sense? They're not haphazard words. He sent them. So when God said, by his stripes you are healed, he sent those words so that you would be
healed.
That's what he said. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return void. It will accomplish what I please and prosper in the thing for which I sent it. And that's God's view. Now, Jesus is going to teach us something about that in just a minute. But see, first we have to understand that the sower sows the word. God sows the word, and God expects the word to come to pass. Now, flip over to the book of Numbers. Just back toward the beginning, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and then the book of Numbers. You remember this story. They tried to get a guy. Well, he was a prophet, but he wasn't walking with God, right? Book of Numbers, chapter 20. Let's see. Where am I headed? 23, I believe. Verse 19. They tried to get this guy to curse the children of Israel, and he came back and said, "I can't. God's already blessed them. You can't bless what you cannot bless what God has cursed." And so he comes out with this prophet in verse 19. He says, "God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent or change his mind." Isn't that what repent means? Turn around or change. After he says something, then he changes his mind, right? Let me tell you something. A lot of Christians think God says things and then he changes his mind and decides he doesn't want to do that. Did you know that? Mm-hmm. Did you know that is a very prevalent thought in our culture? In the American culture, did you know that? That God will say something in his word, but then he'll change his mind and he'll decide not to do that. Well, this says here, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? Has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Two good questions. Has God said something, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? In other words, did God say something and then decide, well, you know, I know I said that, but I just decided I'm not going to do it for you. Huh? See, that's what this guy's saying. This nation is trying to get him to curse Israel. He's saying, I cannot do it. God has already blessed them. He's not going to change his mind. I don't care what I say. I can say anything I want. I can curse him and say anything I want to say. God has already spoken blessing. It's too late. Once God speaks the blessing's going to come. Right? Mm-hmm. See, that's the truth. Mm-hmm. That's the truth. Once God says it, it's a done deal. Now flip over, I want to show you real quick in Psalm 119. I got to watch myself that I don't get off on this for a while. I get excited about these things because these are the things that changed my life and turned me around. I've been saved all of my life, but when I caught hold of God's word in this way, when God opened it up to me, I just couldn't get enough of this book. Psalm 119, look at verse 89. It says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." Settled. What does settled mean? Huh? What does settled mean? Have you ever made an agreement with somebody? And you just say, oh, okay, that settles it. It's settled, right? What settled means, what we said, that's the way it's going to be, right? Now notice, some people say, well, you know, God wrote this a long time ago, but you know, now in my life, he realizes that maybe, you know, I'm not good enough for him to do this, or maybe, you know, he just needs to teach me something, or he needs to do something, so maybe he doesn't want to do this for me now. Those promises he made way back then, maybe they don't apply to me because I'm just, you know, I just can't get it right, and I just, you know, he's just working on me. Or maybe he sees that there's a better way to do it now than back when he said it back then. You know, he just wasn't realizing that in the 21st century, you know, things were going to be a little different than back when he said it way back in the old culture, you know. And so maybe now God's, right? No, forever. Amen. How long will God's word be settled?
Forever.
Forever. When God first said his word, he had every generation that would ever exist in mind. He had you in mind. He knew your problems. He knew your struggles. He knew what was going to come against you. And he had you in mind. And he said, I'm saying it because it's going to be forever settled this way. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled. Now notice this. In heaven. Because let me tell you, it's not settled on the earth. I'll tell you right now. We're arguing about it, fighting about it. You know, opinionated, saying, well, you know, God wants it to happen or he doesn't want it to happen. God, you know, God's a sovereign God. He can do whatever he wants to. You know, we just can't get, it's not settled here. His word is not settled on the earth. But let me tell you where it is settled, in heaven. There is no argument in heaven about this. There is nobody in heaven that would dare approach the throne of God and say, have you changed your mind? Not anybody. And you know what Jesus prayed when he was here? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Huh? Isn't that right? You know why? Now, let me ask you something. Do you think Jesus was praying in line with God's will when he prayed that? So in other words, it's God's will that his will be done on earth just like it is in heaven, right? So in other words, it's God's will that his word be just as settled here as it is in heaven. You see that? See, if you don't watch it, you let somebody else teach you something other than what God said. Amen. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled. Let me tell you this. Here's what I always keep in mind. We do a lot of things and say a lot of things to please people here on earth. Somebody will believe one thing, you know, some person we respect or whatever, we'll believe them and we'll, you know, we don't want to disappoint them. We want to kind of go along with them and everything. Let me tell you something. One day you're going to stand with Jesus. And that's going to be forever. See, this is only a few years here. One day, we're going to be with him forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And you know what you got to think about? How come I didn't believe him? Why didn't I believe the word? Why did I believe somebody else? Why did I let somebody else take away the word from me? When God said over and over, that's my word. It won't return void. It'll accomplish what I please. That's what I want. It's all settled. It's a done deal. I'm not a man that I should lie. Amen. The word is truth, right? Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. See, that's how solid it is. That's how intentional God was when he said it. Now, go back to Mark chapter 4. This is the same word that we're talking about when we get to verse 14, and it says the sower sows the word. Didn't say the sower sowed words. It said the sower sowed the word, talking about God's word, right? Not our words, not my words or your words or Billy Graham's words. The sower sows the word. It's God's word. Isn't that right? Mm-hmm. The word. Now, here is God sowing into people's hearts the word that is forever settled, a done deal, a closed book issue in his mind. He's convinced that what he said is going to come to pass. That's the word that he's sowing. But we find out that most of these people do not bear the fruit of it. Isn't that something? How can that be that God said, so shall my word be that comes forth from my mouth, it will not return to me void, but it will accomplish what I please. And yet Jesus turns around and says, but look, most of these people, it doesn't accomplish what God pleases in their life. Now, what's going on here? God said it's going to accomplish what I please. And Jesus said, nope, they didn't get it. Notice down here, verse 15, these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown, the word. And when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Look at that. He took it away. Did it bear fruit? Didn't bear any fruit. So here this word that God sowed into their hearts, here this powerful word that has the ability to cause itself to come to pass because it is filled with God's power and anointing, doesn't produce anything for that person by the wayside. Well, why not? God intended for it too, didn't he? We read that. He intended for it too, right? You know what this person, you know what in the modern day this person would say? This person, well, I guess it wasn't God's will for me to have it. Huh? I know God said it. I heard that preacher say it. He said it. Guess it wasn't God's will. No, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, Satan came and took away the word. Isn't that right? And you know what we say in our culture? Well, I guess it wasn't God's will that that scripture come to pass in my life. Well, we just trust God. God knows what he's doing. Amen. God knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. I'm being facetious right now. God knows what he's doing. I'm being sarcastic. God knows what he's doing. Bless the Lord. He knows what he's doing. He knows. Well, God, he knows. We just trust him, you know. And if that's the way he wants to do it, see what we did? See what we did? We just got off of what he said and got off in what it looks like he's doing. When the Bible teaches us, we walk by faith and not by sight. See, the whole purpose is you're supposed to stay on what God said, even though it looks like it's going the opposite direction. That's the whole point. See? And the minute you allow religious thinking to start looking at what's going on and saying, well, look at that. Well, maybe it wasn't the Lord's will that I have what he said in his word. So maybe that, well, Satan came immediately, took away the word that was sown in your heart. And you know what you'll do? You blame it on God. And you know what Jesus said? It wasn't God. The devil took away the word that was sown. Sown means you heard it, you knew it, it was there, but you let it be stolen. Huh? Right? See, what Jesus is doing is he's teaching us why God's word is so powerful and yet it doesn't bear fruit in our lives. And wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be just so easy just to say, well, he knows what he's doing. Let me tell you something. That's true. He knows what he's doing. He doesn't know what you're doing. He does not understand why you are not paying attention to this word coming into your heart. Now notice again. Satan came immediately and took away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground who when they hear the word. Now that's that same word, isn't it? That powerful, settled forever in heaven, word of God, that God intends to do exactly what he said it was going to do. It's sown on stony ground, and when they hear that word, they immediately receive it with gladness. That's a good thing to do, isn't it? To immediately receive it. Now notice this. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. You hung on to it for a while. You had it for a couple of days, didn't you? You heard that message? You heard that promise? You had it for a couple of days. You had it for a week or so. But they had no root in themselves, only endured for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises, for what?
The word's sake.
Huh? You know, most of us think, well, I don't know why God's causing all this to happen. Huh? Let me tell you what Jesus said. When persecution and tribulation arises for the word's sake, why is it coming? For the word's sake. Immediately they stumble. Is God the one trying to get you to stumble? I thought I was reading over there where God was the one trying to get his word to come to pass in your life. Does God have another mask that he wears sometimes? And over here he speaks the word and wants you to be, to receive the benefits of being in the kingdom. And then when you're not looking, he throws on a different mask and pushes the persecution, the tribulation over here to cause you to stumble and not receive it? Is God playing both sides of this card? Or are we confused about this? Huh? Jesus is saying here, no. That persecution and tribulation arises for the word's sake. It's trying to get the word out. You know what we do? We let it. We get all bent out of shape. We let it. Right? We let it. So we stumble. We stumble. One translation says, they were offended. When you get offended, the word gets stolen out of your heart? When somebody just flat irritates you and makes you mad, you get all bent out of shape and angry and start your strife. Did you know that's when the word gets stolen out of your heart? Don't even know it. See, a bunch a whole lot of Christians around us just so ignorant to the things of God. Just ignorant. Don't understand how these things work. Just bumbling along blindly. Can't figure out why their prayers don't come to pass. Let me tell you something. If you do that enough years, you'll change your theology because you just can't figure out why it's not working. So you have to change it. You begin to say things that are not true. But let me tell you something. One day you'll answer to God for it. It's the truth. One day we're going to stand before God who said, I said it, I meant it, that's the way it was. Now why is it you went around telling everybody it was my will to do something else? You understand? See? Jesus is saying, let me tell you why it's not working. You stumbled. You got offended when the persecution and tribulation came. Instead of standing right there, the Bible says, having done all to stand, stand therefore. Stand therefore. Stand where? Stand on the word. Stand on it. And that persecution's coming at you, that tribulation is coming at you and saying, it's not going to work, it's not going to work, it's not going to work. God doesn't love you. He's not going to do it for you. You've messed up too many times. And he's banging on you. Didn't work for you last time. Didn't work for your mama. Didn't work for your grandma. Didn't work for, you know what I mean? Here he comes. This is a generational thing. This is a genetic thing. He's got all kinds of reasons why this is not going to work. Let me tell you something. Your job is to stand there and say, yeah, I know about all that, but let me tell you something about that is more powerful than all that. Yeah. It's the Word of God that is forever settled in heaven. And the Word of God will bring light in the darkness. Right. The Word of God will raise the dead. Amen? Yeah. The Word of God will cause disease just to flat go away. Yes. Cause a leper who's been a leper for many years just to be cleansed right on the spot. That's the power of the Word of God. See, and it's our job to stand there and to not let it be taken away.
Yes.
That's our job. See? Now notice this. These are the ones sown among thorns, who when they hear the word, then the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things. Now notice this. Entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. What becomes unfruitful? Did you hear what Jesus said? Now listen very closely here. He said, these cares, deceitfulness of riches, desires, one translation says lusts for other things, entering into your heart, choke the word, and the word of God, that powerful, anointed, forever settled, very intentional word of God, becomes unfruitful. Now, was that God's plan? Is that God's plan? It's very obvious that Jesus is saying, that's not the way it ought to be. But he's saying right there, the word, the very powerful word of God that healed some people became unfruitful in that person's life. The question is, whose fault is it? Is that God's fault?
No.
Did God change his mind? Did God just decide, you know, just for you, just because, you know, I've got a special plan for you, that, you know, I'm going to let you go through this thing. I'm going to let you go ahead and stick with this thing, even though I promised you that I'd take it away from you. I'm going to let it stay on you. I'm going to let you deal with this for a while because it's going to make you a better person. Huh? Choking the word in there. All that stuff, choking the word, choking the word, choking the word, choking the word till you just hardly have any of it left. And you have all this reasoning, logic of what's going on in your life. I hear people all the time, you know, saying, I look back now, I know what God was doing. See, God was teaching me over there, God was teaching me over there. I just can't wait till we get to heaven. I just can't wait till we get to heaven. And these people trying to explain to God what he was doing. And God's just going to say, no, I was just trying to do what I said. Said it. I didn't lie. I wasn't trying to do all that stuff you thought I was trying to do. No, I was just trying to do what I said. I can't wait. I'm telling you, when we get to heaven, things are going to be settled up. And God's going to defend himself. Right now, God's not speaking up defending himself. Lots of people going around saying lots of things about God, calling him a liar. In very nice, subtle, religious ways. calling him a liar. Let me tell you something. We're going to be there for a long time, too. I'm more interested in that lifetime and living so that in that lifetime I'm going to look back and say, told y'all. I told you guys, bunch of fools. I told you guys. Amen. I told you. Right? I'm telling you. Somebody said, well, why are you so confident about it? I'll tell you why I'm so confident about it. Because the Holy Spirit opened my eyes to this book. I believe that this book is the truth. It is the Word of God. I believe it. And when I started believing it, that's when it changed my life. I've been a Christian all my life, and it didn't do, thank God it kept me, you know, just being a Christian kept me out of a lot of junk. But things didn't happen in the power realm until this book became real to me. And I believed that it was the truth, and I had to tell the circumstances in my life, you're the liar. This is not the liar. You are the liar. I look at that mountain and say, no, you're the liar. And the mountain looked back and say, God changed his mind. God's not going to do it for you. And he talked to me. And I tell that mountain, no, you're the liar. You are the liar. The word is truth. If the word says it belongs to me, it belongs to me. Let me tell you something. And mountains just start moving. You ever seen a mountain tuck its tail between its legs and just run off? Now see, that won't happen in your life until you get this, until you become good ground. Notice, and it becomes unfruitful. Here's a big question. How can God say, my word will do what I said it was going to do, and Jesus turn around and say, that same word becomes unfruitful? Huh? How can that be true? How can both be true? Is it going to do what God said, or is it going to become unfruitful? Both. It's going to accomplish what God said, but maybe not in your life. Unless you decide that you're going to receive it and hang on to that tighter than you hang on to anything else anybody else ever says. Tighter than any thought that comes to your mind, any reasoning and logic, any way that it just seems like God's doing something other than what he said. You just say, no, I'm hanging on to the word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but when all is said and done, when the dust settles, the smoke clears, let me tell you something, it'll be me and the Word still standing there and everything else will be gone. Over in Psalm 91, it says, 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it's not going to come near me. And that's confidence, isn't it? Oh, yeah. Now, when he says, 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, he's not talking about the enemy. He's talking about his comrades. The enemy's not at your side. The enemy's out here. Your comrades, your team is on the side. 1,000 at my side, 10,000 at my right hand. He said, but it won't come near me. Why? Does God show favorites? No. But those people that dwell in the secret place of the Most High, that know God, they'll stand there, and the anointing of God will protect them. I'm telling you, this is the way the system works. That whole army of Israel is over there shaking in the bushes. And one little old teenage boy stands out there and says, guys, that big old guy doesn't even have a covenant with God. He's uncircumcised, right? He's got no covenant with God. Give me some rocks. You understand that? That's how you do it. When you know God, when you know what he said and you believe it, you'll do things that nobody else can do. It's the truth. See? But then there'll be these other people where the word's unfruitful. Now let me ask you something. Was it God's will that it was unfruitful? Very clearly no. Was not God's will, was it? Now notice this, verse 20. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Notice it didn't say, but these are the ones that got the good word. Huh? It didn't say these guys got the good word and they bore fruit, did it? No, it said these are the ones that got the same word, but it was good ground, the good hearts. These are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. Some of them 30-fold. Some of them 60-fold. And some of them, that's the one I'm looking for right there. Some of them 100. Some of them 100. Now, is Jesus playing partiality here? You know what? Only 30% of your prayers are going to pass. I'm going to get 60% of yours, but 100, baby, right there. Just because you're so good looking. Huh? Is that the way God does it?
No.
No. He says there are different levels. There are people that 30-fold, you know what 30-fold means? I tell you what, let me tell you something. Most people get this thrilled about 30-fold. 30-fold, 30% of your, you know what, if 30% of your prayers are coming to pass, you're doing pretty good by Christian standards, aren't you? Isn't that the truth? You're doing pretty good. You'd be praying more if 30% of your prayers were just coming to pass, right? But see, what that says is 70% is not being fruitful. 70% is not being answered. 70% of your Christian walk is not bearing fruit. That's not good, is it? That's not good. It's better than most, but it's still not good. But see, some 60-fold, and then he goes on to say some 100-fold. Jesus said some 100-fold on purpose. You know why? Because he wants you to know that it is possible. And somebody says, well, how do we know that it's possible? Because there was a human being who walked on the earth and believed everything his God said and allowed everything his God said to come to pass in his life. Isn't that right? What's his name? Jesus. And Jesus walked by faith, didn't he? He said, I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it. I don't say anything unless I hear my Father say it. Have you taken that same stance? When you're interpreting an issue that you're going through, when you're interpreting a problem that's coming against you and it doesn't seem like it's moving, the mountain's not moving and you've told it to move and it's still there, have you taken the stance that Jesus took? I don't say anything unless I heard the Father say it. Or are you saying, well, you know what it kind of seems like here, you know? It seems like if God wanted it to move, it'd move, right? Jesus said, I don't say anything unless I hear the Father say it. Now, here's a little tip. Jesus did it that way. He always spoke in line with the Word. He always expected what he said to come to pass, right? He went in line with God's Word at every level, at every opportunity, and it worked every time. Little tip is, that's probably the way we ought to do it. Huh? Isn't that interesting that other people that we see change the Word, go away from the Word, decide that God changed his mind and everything, and it doesn't work very often? Who should we emulate? I wonder who we ought to follow. You know what Hebrews says? Follow those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. What does that mean? That means those promises are coming to pass in their life. Follow them. Let me give you just a little tip. You really got to watch out for people that are constantly making excuses for why the promises are not coming to pass. You got to be very careful. Usually what's going on is there's a deep conviction going on in their heart, and the Holy Spirit is dealing with them about why they're not standing on the Word, and so they have to constantly justify out loud. Constantly justify, because the Holy Spirit is down on the inside saying, why don't you believe the Word? Believe the Word. Believe the Word. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he'll testify of me. My words are spirit and are life. The Holy Spirit's constantly saying, believe what he said. Believe what he said. Believe what he said. Believe what he said. He's down on the inside. He's just stirring all the time. And so see, people that are stirred like that, Christians and sometimes even ministers, many times ministers, they're stirred like that and something's eating at them on the inside, so they're constantly making excuses and constantly saying, Well, you know, God just may be doing this or that. You know what that is? That's those other things coming into your ears that choke the Word. Let me tell you how you know when you're hearing the Word. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you come in and somebody is preaching the Word and you walk out believing the Word more than you heard the Word, because faith came. But if you come in and you're sitting there and somebody preaches the Word and you walk out doubting whether or not God wants those promises to come to pass in your life more than when you walked in, I don't care how many scriptures were read. I don't care how many Greek words were parsed. You did not hear God's word. Because faith comes by hearing the word. When you hear God's word, you believe it more. Understand that? That's the good preaching of the word of God. You walk out and you say, bless God. God's word is truth. But when you walk out and you say, well, you know, whatever God wants to do, you didn't hear the word. I think it's pretty clear to see where Jesus stands. Don't you? Mm-hmm. You know what he's doing? He's helping us. He's pointing out all of the things that we allow to happen in our hearts and lives that take away that confidence that God really wants his word to come to pass. If we could see God's plan that he has for each of us, doesn't matter who you are, how many times you've messed up, what your background is, what your socioeconomic status is, it doesn't make any difference. If you could see the plan that God had for you, it would just, you'd just pass out. You just wouldn't be able to even handle the plan because it's so powerful. And you'd say, could that be me? Yeah, but it's going to take you standing on the promises. Everything you're going to do great for God is going to be by faith. It's not going to happen to you. The sower sows the word. And these guys received it, and these guys didn't. These guys stood on it even when the tough times came, and these guys didn't. These guys made excuses. These guys stood and said, I'm not letting go of that word. I'm going to hang on to it, keep it down in my heart, not let anything choke, not let any worry or care or concern or doubt, unbelief, any thought tell me that it's not going to come to pass. I'm going to hang on to that dude until it bears some fruit. These are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word accept it. Accept it. Accept the word. Accept what God said. Not what anybody else said. Accept the word. And bear fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. I don't know about you, but it's speaking to me. It's speaking to you? Mm-hmm. Huh? Speaking to me. Speaking to me. I think one of the points the Holy Spirit brought out here tonight that I didn't intend on saying, but how many of you know the Holy Spirit is the real teacher? Isn't it right? Here's something that I think he wants emphasized and he wants us all to go with tonight, that Jesus said, I don't say anything unless I hear the Father say it. And he wants us to make a decision. I'm not going to give any interpretation of anything that's going on in my life or anybody else's life except for the way that God said it was supposed to be. I remember my life scripture. If I have one life scripture, my life scripture is Joshua 1:8. I mean, God just took me through that and showed me Bibles of knowledge out of that one verse. In the Spirit. See, when you get in the Spirit and you begin to see things in the Spirit realm, it just opens up to you. You see all kinds of things that just, it didn't look like one verse could hold all of that. But what that verse says is, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. That's all I'll say right now. There's a whole lot more to it. But here's what God told me. This book will not depart from your mouth. This book will not depart from your mouth. Yeah, but what if it looks like this book will not depart from your mouth? Huh? This book will not depart. Yeah, but I think we should talk about what it looks like God's doing. Yeah, you should. And this book shall not depart from your mouth. You want to know what God's doing? He's going to do what he said. Has he said it, and will he not do it? But see, the reason why God told Joshua that is because he knew if Joshua did not keep this book in his mouth, he couldn't keep it in his heart, and it wouldn't come to pass. It would become unfruitful. Even though God expected and wanted him to cross the Jordan with the people and obtain the land that he promised. And let me tell you something. There's a land for you. Did you know that? There is a land for you. There is an opportunity in your life that God wants you to go after and attain and possess. I'm telling you, your plan belongs to you. It belongs to you, and the devil just wants to take it away. It belongs to you. It's yours. But you know what? If you let that book of the law slip out of your mouth and start saying anything else, it's going to become unfruitful. It's going to be choked. Oh, I love to listen to Jesus teach, don't you? I get thrilled every time I get here and he starts doing this. He just starts, you know, I'm over here. You're looking at me, but I'm looking at myself on the inside and saying, ah. Because he's already dealt with me about these things. And, you know, if you don't watch it, how many of you know that a teacher has a gift to teach but not to live? Did you know that? I've got a gift to teach the word, but I don't have a gift to live it. I got to live it like you do. I got to make a decision at every level to walk in the Word. I don't have any more gift to live it than you do. I just have a gift to teach it. See, so here as I'm, you know, it's a two-edged sword. I got one edge pointing towards you. This other edge over here is getting me. Huh? Let not many of you become teachers, knowing that you'll receive a stricter judgment. Right? See, so I've got to walk in this. And I know God's called me to walk in this. And I tell you what, we're getting after it too. We're getting after it. Amen. Amen. There's something out there ahead of you that God has for you, but it's going to take you receiving the word and the promises in such a big way that nothing in between you and God's plan can take it away. Mm-hmm. It's like that football when that running back grabs that football. It's at the end of the game. The defense knows they've got to strip that ball away to be able to get that ball to have a shot at winning the game. And the only thing the coach said is, whatever you do, don't let go of the ball. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's the way the Word of God is in your heart. Jesus is saying, whatever you do, don't let go of what God said. And the pressures and the persecutions and the tribulations are there for the Word's sake. They're to get the Word out of your heart. They're to choke the Word off. Your whole goal is to take what God said, clamp it, hide it down in your heart so deep, hold it so tight that no matter what comes, all that comes out of your mouth is, no, I believe what God said. I believe what God said. Somebody says, yeah, but what if you got sick and you died and you said, I believe what God said? Wouldn't you be embarrassed then? No way. You'd be in the presence of the Lord. And the first thing would be coming out of your mouth is, I believe what God said. And God say, that's my boy right there. That's my boy. Right? I've always thought, man, I'd rather die saying I believe God than to die calling God a liar in some religious way. Because when I get there, God's going to say, huh? I did what? The goal is to clamp onto that thing so tight because that belongs to you out there. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you something. It's going to be a dogfight to get there. If you think it's going to be easy, it's not. It's a fight. It's called the good fight of faith. But let me tell you something. It is a dogfight to keep your mind believing the Word and to keep those persecutions and tribulations and worries and cares and desires and deceitfulness of riches and everything else from pulling that thing away from you. It's going to take a lot for you just to determine down in your heart, no, I'm going to believe what God said. And it will come to pass. I'm going to cross my Jordan. I'm going to knock down my Jericho. I'm going to possess what God has for me. And when I get to the end, He's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. See, that belongs to everybody in here. But you're going to have to make a decision that you're going to go after God's Word the way Jesus did. Let's all stand. Thank God. Thank God. Praise God. Let's lift our hands. Let's thank God for His Word tonight. Begin to praise Him. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your Word tonight. Thank you for giving us insights. Oh, Jesus, thank you for showing us how to receive your Word and bear 100-fold with it. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God for not letting us be religiously ignorant. Praise God. Thank God. Everybody, close your eyes and say this out loud. Say, I believe God's Word. God's Word is truth. It's forever settled in heaven. God will never change His mind. He made promises, and He still wants them to come to pass. In my life, God's plan for my life will come to pass. I declare it with my mouth. I say to my mouth, you will speak in line with God's word. This book will not depart from what you say. I will only speak what the Father says. And the Father says, the word of God. I believe the word. I believe every word of it. I believe it will come to pass in my life. And Satan will not be able to steal it out of my heart. In the name of Jesus. Now let's give Him praise. Thank God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the word. Thank you for the word. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank God. Thank God. Praise the Lord. That was just a little parenthesis tonight. That wasn't even part of the series that I started teaching. That was just a little, you know, pause, parenthesis. We'll get back into it next week. Hey, Sunday is going to be a good day, huh? Would you get your words in line with our faith? And let's believe God, that God brings hundreds of people here. Somebody, you know, some of you that have been here so long, you just, your mind starts saying, would God really do that? Yeah, He's going to do it. I'm telling you, He's going to do it. But let's get in there and begin to say, thank God that God is going to draw these people to Himself, because we're lifting Jesus up at every opportunity, aren't we? Isn't that the truth? Amen. So whatever you do, try to bring five or more people with you on Sunday. Just find somebody out here in the street if you don't get them all. And just drag them in by the hair. We'll handle them. We do. We have some cards. Joe, do you think, who knows where those cards are? There's some right there. Who knows where they are? Somebody run out and get some cards. We'll have them back here at the back. They're in Chad's office, Joe. The Lord bless you. Give a couple people a big hug and tell them, hey, you in the right place. Go ahead, tell them. You're in the right place.